سبحان الله 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 سبحان الله.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, one of the great challenges of the modern age, and that is not only for Muslims but for the entire humanity, is how to deal with migration. And when we talk about migration, we are talking about people who migrate from one country to the other for whatever reason. Whether it be for financial reasons, whether it be for economic interest, whether it be for the sake of the family. This is a reality that by and large the modern world has to contend with. This issue has also become very important in our country. During the course of the week, we have seen xenophobic attacks that have happened in various parts of the country, more specifically around our region. Now, how do we deal with this? What is our solution? What is the reality? And what does the Islamic Sharia, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what examples that our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives us? But I've also spoken about the fact that it is not only to do with Muslims. It is a global phenomena. There's a very interesting book that has been written by the name of Arrival City, by a person by the name of Doug Saunders. And he says that throughout the world, almost 2 billion people migrate. Today, almost 2 billion people have migrated. And he doesn't only count migration from country to country, he also calls about migration from the farms to urban cities. So we find throughout the world today, the cities are becoming larger. People don't want to stay in the farms. People don't want to stay in agricultural places. Everyone wants to run to the city, feeling there is glamour, there is glitz, there is money, there is economic development. This is a reality. That means 1/3 of humanity are migrants in some way or the other. 1/3 of human beings are migrants in one way or the other. Now, there is no way that such a large percentage of humanity migrate and we don't have norms, rules, values with regard to how do we deal with it. In this book, it is made mention that in every migration that there are massive opportunities and potential threats. In every migration, whichever way there is massive opportunities and there are potential threats. And not always people get it right. But let us look at the example our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given us. It is a remarkable example. Because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the people of Makkah migrated to Medina. And what was the example Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us? In integrating the two differing communities into one community, into one brotherhood. Maybe we can share that and take that and show people that this is what Islam has said with regard to it. Unfortunately, we don't have this mindset of sharing the beautiful examples of Islam with the world. So as I said, ye ek jagah se dusre jagah muntakil aur hijrat karna, ye to ek na sirf musalmanon mein hai, lekin pure kainat mein iska jo hai na aajkal bahut uska wo chal raha hai. تو اس کے مطابق ہم کیا کریں؟ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ہمیں کیا تعلیمات دی ہیں؟ The first thing is, let us say with regard to the people who migrate from one place to the other. The first thing is to make your niyat correct. The very famous hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ Allah will judge your intention by Allah will judge your action by intention. That beautiful hadith was narrated by Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the context of hijrat. That is why the whole hadith reads like this: Innamal a'malu binniyat, faman kanat hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi fa hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi. Whoever makes hijrat for the sake of Allah and His Rasul, Allah will give him the reward of making hijrat for Allah and His Rasul. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ دُنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا. Whoever makes hijrat for the sake of dunya, Allah will grant him dunya, but he won't get the reward of the first instance. So the first thing is, make your niyat correct. Mu'abul Hasan Nadwi Rahimahullah, when he spoke to people who were migrant, when he went to America and he spoke to the people who had come from India, Pakistan, he gave one very amazing example. He says, make your intention to increase your iman. Make your intention to take the deen of Allah Ta'ala to the other parts of the world. And then he used to tell people, he said, if your identity is not going to be maintained and you are going to forsake Islam by migration, it's better for you to go back home. Agar aapka iman sahi nahi rehta hijrat ke saath, to isse behtar ye hai ki aap apne ghar chale jaye. Mu'abul Hasan Nadwi ne logon se us waqt kaha tha jab America gaya tha aur wahan pe takreer ki thi, jo hai India Pakistan se jo log hijrat karke wahan pe chale gaye the. He told them that if your iman is not going to become right, then rather go back home. So the first thing is to make, and let me also make mention, sometimes you can make a niyat for something, but afterwards you can change your niyat. Hazrat Maulana Sajjad Nu'mani sahab Madzilul Ali say, Islam mein niyat ki tasheeh ke saath niyat ki tabdeel aur tawseeh bhi ho sakti hai. Together with the correction of your niyat, you can also change your niyat. And you can also broaden your niyat. So even if you came with a particular reason first, change your niyat. That I have come initially for economic situation, but now I want to come for the sake of the deen. I want to make myself a better Muslim. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, when a person comes into the country or migrates from one place to the other, he must respect the local norms and respect the local infrastructure. And a person might have been doing something differently in his place, but when he comes to another place, unless it's a matter of clear-cut right and wrong, then of course he can bring it up. But if it's just a matter of doing something differently, then he must respect the norms and the ways the people, local people, are doing things. Khamakha isme aitraz karna ye sahi nahi hai. Just to unnecessary object, hum wahan pe aise karte the, now you want to bring it here. That is not the way your person does it. So when a person comes, unless there is something grossly wrong, then you can bring it to the attention of people. But if it is a matter of doing something differently, then you must respect the local norms and the way they have done things. Don't unnecessarily, you know, create confusion and controversy for nothing. This an American went to China. So he went to China, he asked the people, what is the population there? He said 1.5, 1.2 billion. He said, you will do anything else. So you see, that's the way we go and criticize the people, the local people, what they are doing. They got their own ways. That's another thing. The third thing that is of great importance is that when we come into a place, we must always understand one thing. Mu'az Sajjad Nu'mani, yesterday I was listening to his bayan on this, and he made mention of a very important point. He says, you see, whenever humanity, and he talks about in a broader sense, he said, whenever you learn to give someone something, people will respect and like you. People will respect and like when you build, you have a situation of giving people. You see, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah sent Usman to Makkah, go and speak to the Quraysh that we have come for peace. We have come for peace. Why did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam send Usman? The reason why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Usman, because Usman was generous. And he used to give people. And when he used to give people, the people loved him. It is said that the mothers, even before Islam, when they used to lull their babies to sleep, they used to say, baby, go to sleep. I love you as much as the Quraysh love Usman. I love you as much as the Quraysh loves Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Because when you start giving people, then there is a love and respect. But when you're always taking from people, then actually what happens is there is disrespect, hatred that builds into people that ye to bas lene ke liye aaye aur kuch nahi. So when a person comes from abroad and comes into a different situation, learn to also give, not only to take. Mawlana Sajjad makes mention of this in the broadest sense of the world. He said this ummat previously used to give the nations of the world things. That is why they were respected. And we don't like to listen to this, brothers, but in the last 2 or 3 centuries, this ummat has only taken from other people. Because we have only taken from other people, that is why we do not have respect amongst people in the world. When Muslims went to Spain, they gave them peace. They gave them tolerance. They taught them wisdom. They taught them cleanliness. They taught them what justice was. Show us where is the example of Muslims giving people today something. We are only taking, whether it be the unemployment fund there in Britain, most of the people who are taking are Muslims. So when you have only taken from people, there is no respect of you in the nations of the world. Learn to give. So when you learn to give, then you will see you will be respected by the people. So this is a very important aspect for us as Muslims, as minorities in this country, and people who have migrated. So these are some aspects with regard to people who have migrated. Just very briefly, some very important guidelines which the Sharia has told us. Then, of course, there is also guidelines that the Sharia has made mention with regard to people who are the local people. Now we can take this as the local people in a broader South African sense, the local indigenous people, or in our community, the people who have been here before and the people who have come. Now we know in South Africa there has been a situation since 1994. Many people from different parts of the world have come into our communities. They have become part and parcel of our communities. How do we deal with that? Firstly, we must acknowledge that. It's a reality. You can't turn away reality. So acknowledge it, accept it. Instead of burning or becoming jealous, it doesn't mean nothing. We have to acknowledge it. As I've said, migration is such a phenomenon that 1/3 of humanity is involved in some way or the other in some form of migration. That's the first thing. The other aspect is, you know, Allah Ta'ala has made mention in Quran, this earth is very vast. Although this ayat was revealed for the people of Makkah to migrate to Madinah and Munawwara, because that time it was the identification of a Muslim. But Allah Ta'ala says this earth is vast. So there is migration. It's going to happen. You see, so under this ayat, Mufti Shafizab Rahmatullah Ali writes that he says that whoever has migrated, by and large, Allah has given them barakah and blessings in their risk. See, many a times people who migrate, you'll find Allah has given them barakah and blessing in their risk. They tend to do, because many a times they also come with a determination to do better than what we were previously. So you find that there's a greater determination. And today we find it. We find people who have come from abroad have taken opportunities that local people who have been here for years have not taken those opportunities. Right? And they add to the beauty of the landscape. They add to the beauty of our communities. I mean, we look at Wolfsburg, for example. They have brought in different type of situation that previously were not there. So this is another aspect. Thirdly, also acknowledge sometimes when people travel and migrate from one place to the other, there is difficulty. There is no aspect of not difficulty in people leaving their own homelands and coming to another place. Acknowledge that type of difficulty. Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was migrating from Makkah to Medina. The Quraysh stopped him and said, you became wealthy here, you're going, and what are you going to do with your wealth? So Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, you know, I'm the best archer amongst you. You leave me alone, let me migrate to Medina and Munawwara. Let me migrate to Medina and Munawwara. And as long as I got one arrow, you will not be able to catch me. They said, all right, we'll allow you to migrate on one condition. There's all your wealth that you leave behind, give it to us. Because he wanted to join Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, all right, take all my wealth. So when he came to Medina Munawwara, he was tired and exhausted. Let me just add one more thing on this. When he came to Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a gathering and his eyes were very sore because of the exhaustion that he didn't sleep for many days. So normally it is said when a person's eye is sore, you don't have dates. You know, you don't have dates because dates exacerbate the pain. So he started eating dates. So one of the Sahabi told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, Suhaib is eating dates in his ear. His eyes are sore. It will affect his eyes. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Suhaib and Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm not eating with that eye. I'm eating with the other eye, which is not sore. So there's a Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu. But look, Allah Ta'ala when he made mention, he said, Wa min an-nasi ma yashri nafsahu ibtigha'a mardatillah. People gave away their wealth for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. They made hijrat for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So there is a difficulty that is there. When Nabi Akram S.A.W. brought the Muhajir and Ansar together, what actually Nabi S.A.W. did was he paired the people from Makkah with the people of Medina and made them brothers. And subhanAllah, that brotherhood was established and was honored by the people of Medina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. You know, that is why up till now there is a sensitivity in the ummah for the people of Medina. Because from that time, there were people who were mehman nawaz, who entertained guests. They looked after people who came from other side. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paired Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa Kharija bin Zayd, Ansari Sahabi, Umar with Adban bin Malik, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah with Sa'd bin Ma'ath. And the most remarkable incident was Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was paired with Sa'd bin Rabih. Sa'd bin Rabih was a very, very prominent Ansari local Medina resident. And he was very wealthy comparative to the other Ansar. So when Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu came to him, he said, listen, I've got so much gardens. Here, I'll give 50%, you take. And I got two wives. You look which one of the one you like, I'll divorce, you get married to her. The other one was regard to it that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid them. And then he said, I will got two wives. If you want one, I'll divorce. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said, no, I don't want that. You show me the marketplaces. When he went into the marketplaces, he went to go and earn. The first day he earned great amount of profit. And then Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said, Allah Ta'ala gave me so much barakah. Even if I would have lifted a stone, Allah would have given me wealth underneath that. He became the most wealthy of the Sahabi. Now what we learn from here is, on one hand, from the local people, the ability to sacrifice the people who have come from abroad. This is what we learn. And that is why in one expedition, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got some wealth. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got some wealth, then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ansari, he said, come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Ansari and said, I can give this wealth to everyone. But you see, the muhajir will get a very short, very little bit. But when they get little bit, it won't be enough for them to stand on their own two feet. On the other hand, if I give it only to the muhajirs, you don't have to look after them in future. They must stand on their own two feet and now they must become independent. Subhanallah, on this particular request, the Ansar said, Ya Rasulullah, give it only to the muhajirs and we will still look after them. Give it to them, but we will still look after them. That's the time when this ayat was revealed. Yuhibbuna man hajra ilayhim. They love the people who have made hijrat to them. They didn't look upon them in bad eyes or bad ways. They love the people who made hijrat. وَلَا يَجِنُونَ فِي سُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And they had no hajat and looked upon them in other particular ways. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ. And they gave people preference even if difficulty came their lot. So when the people come, we acknowledge them. Also what we learn from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make people feel part of mashwara. We have to make people feel part of our community. That is one of the things that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. In the battle of Badr, let me just conclude with this incident. You know, in the battle of Badr, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a very amazing thing. He asked the people, see, we left Medina to go and fight a trade caravan. Now all of a sudden we are facing a full-fledged war. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took people's mashura. Initially only the muhajir and the ansar, only the muhajirin, the people of Makkah gave a views. Ya Rasulullah, we will fight. Hazrat Miqdad bin Aswad said, Harib man shit, Salim man shit. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, go and make war with whomsoever you want. Make peace with whomsoever you want. Whomsoever you make war with, we will make war with. Whomsoever you make peace with, we will make peace with. And take khud min amwalina ma'ashit. Take from our wealth whatever you want. What you take from our wealth will be more beloved to us than what you leave behind with us. This was Miqdad bin Aswad. On the other hand, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam still asked for mashura. And then the Ansar of Medina realized that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was looking at them to give some sort of view. Because the initial condition was that the people of Medina would protect Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. This was not in Medina. It was in Badr, outside Medina. Then the Ansar said, Ya Rasulullah, go and make war with whomsoever you want. We will be with you. And I think it was Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu who said that, Ya Rasulullah, even if you go to the oceans and you fight in the ocean, we will be with you. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a mashura, didn't say that my people gave me mashura, let me carry on. He waited for the people of the Ansar also to give mashura. So when we are in a particular situation, we make people feel part and parcel of our community. That is the way our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the people of Makkah and Medina together. In fact, on one occasion in the Ghazwa Bani Mustalak, when there was an incident and skirmish that happened between a person of Makkah and a person of Medina, the person of Makkah called, O people of Makkah, come and help me. And the person from Medina said, O people of Medina, come and help me. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so angry. And he said, what is this calling of Jahiliyyah? This is a calling and slogan of jahiliyat. It is ignorance. I have come to remove this and make you one brotherhood. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said, it is a slogan that smells, it stinks. This is the teaching of Abu. At the end of the day, irrespective of where people come from, wherever they come from in different parts of the world, and they come together, we are common brotherhood. And we've got to keep in that, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. We are one brotherhood. And you know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, very beautifully he said, the difficulty that you face in maintaining unity, it's less difficult than the difficulty that will come upon you when you are disunited. We'll repeat that again. The difficulty you face in forging unity. Now in forging unity, you have to have a broad heart, broad shoulder, have listen to people, listen to various views, see people from different walks of life coming. You know, that difficulty is less than the difficulty will come upon the ummah when there is disunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Let us look at these beautiful precepts Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil.